scripture, there's a place where God says in a meeting in heaven, who will deceive him for me? Then the demon says, I will. And then God sends a demon to deceive a dear brother. God sends a demon. It's a scary place to be. But just that hardness of heart, thick walls and just tall walls people are building, inability to receive. That's the bad soil. You don't want to be there. Oh, you don't want to be there. That's a bad place to be. That's a bad place to be. The second type of soil, the stony ground. This is usually the place where people believe what God is saying with their heads, but not with their hearts. It's usually the place where you read scripture like you read a biology book. Oh, yes, this is what God's saying, and you just believe it with your head. It's supposed to be like that. It's not something that you've settled within your heart. In other words, if God says that you will be persecuted for my name's sake, it's very easy just to settle the thing with your mind and never with your heart. Because the understanding of that scripture will only reveal itself the day when you are persecuted. Somebody once told a good speaker, said, look, if you say that you will never steal, you only have good intentions until the day you are given the opportunity to steal. If you say no that day, then we know you won't steal. Before that, you only have good intentions. It's a really important thing. It's the same with scripture. If you don't settle scripture within your heart, when persecution comes, all the dross will surface. All the dross. You'll see it. All the difficult times when people being rude to you, and then you see who has the heart believe in God or who has the head believe in God. It speaks also of a place of selective hearing, the stony places. I only hear the good parts in scripture. It's really cool when you read John 10:10. Come to give life and life in abundance. And then we build a whole conference around life and life in abundance. But what is the other part of the scripture says? But the enemy has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So isn't that part true? Is only the life and life in abundance true? The rest of the scripture is also true. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. Whoa, powerful. And they did not love their lives unto death. That's the other part. Selective hearing. Only hearing what you want to hear. Only interpreting things the way you want to interpret it. Are you with me? It's a really bad place also to be, because it's really difficult. You see, the stony ground. It's a place of moving in your own strength. It's a place of moving in your own strength. The stony ground. If you look at what it says, but since they do know they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So in times of trouble and of persecution, scripture doesn't make sense for people anymore. They don't believe in scripture anymore. How can God help me? It's what I'm saying then, that last point, pressure and trials. The previous one was this bitterness and anger alone. Me, myself, I, stubbornness. In this case, the biggest challenge is the fact that the scripture hasn't taken root in yourself, in myself. And pressure and trials will seem to shake everything that can be shaken. You know, the dandruff will float through your hair and through the air like postosis. It will float the way God will shake you. Or circumstances will shake you. You know, It's a challenging time, you know. I know of brothers and sisters right now that's going through hell. And look, the only thing that can help is the fact that you must hold on tight to Scripture and what God told you. I can only comfort you. God must give you your strength and that place to stay through His Word, which He have sown in your heart. Now, if you can't stand on that Word, have you ever opened a fridge where there's jelly in? The jelly keeps on wobbling for quite some time. And I suspect when trouble comes and it knocks at your door, our legs get like that. It's a bit jellyish. Look, I'm not talking, please understand me, I'm not talking here about natural fears. Heights, claustrophobia. Enjoy those things about yourself. Enjoy it about yourself. You know. Fast cars, if it makes your stomach turn. The sea, if you want to cots. Enjoy it about yourself. Enjoy it. The Afrikaans for cots is korts. Receive it from me. You know. But just enjoy it about yourself. If you're scared of heights, enjoy it about yourself. One of my friends told me at that time, you know, I'm scared of knives. I said, wow. And you know what I'm scared of? So I said, what else? I thought, what's this going to be? Chameleons. For clear manikis. My wife's scared of mouses, you know. She doesn't enjoy it about yourself. Now, when somebody takes you on that thing there at Ratanga Junction, and you go up and you just think, oh my word, I shouldn't have done, said yes. Enjoy it about yourself. You don't need deliverance from that. Why you want to go now? You know, it's not incapacitating you. You're just learning something new about yourself. There's so much that you don't know about yourself. There's so much at this time, in my time of weakness, that I'm learning about myself now. Shoo. And I talk about it openly. Because I've just learned to be myself in what Christ said I must be. I'm talking about when it seems the whole world comes against you. Especially when you've been treated unfairly. The third type of soil is where the seed was sown, the thistles. This is people who respond to the word, but they don't work through the word. They say, yes, amen, yay, amen, amen, praise the Lord. Preach it, pastor, preach it, man. Ooh, you're doing it. Hey, pastor, hallelujah. But then they don't go and they don't work it through what God is saying. So it's not a good place to be. They're not involved in prospering the church, not financially. Please don't understand. Please understand. They're not involved in church in any way. They yarn amen, but they're nowhere to be seen. It seems like they yarn the amen is they yarn the amen. And if you're looking for them, where else are they yarning and amening? Then you don't find themselves. Are you with me? It's a place where you're not part of the church to bring your gifting and your blessing to the church, because that is really important. Scripture will only make sense in your life if you're part of a living body and where you live yourself out. Otherwise, Scripture will not make sense. Scripture will make sense when your heart is there to prosper the church, not financially, but prosper the church with your gift and your giftings. You can grow only so far. If you're in Island, you can grow only so far. Oh, so far. You can grow only so far if you don't allow the word to take root and to exercise, because you must exercise the word. You must exercise the word in faith with other people so that people can see how the word grows in your life. it speaks of that place where there's a lack of commitment and you're not willing to pay the price. You know why? Because the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things choke you. It chokes us. That's what that scripture teaches. Have you seen it in that scripture? Money. Money, money, money. You know that song? Money is one of them that chokes you. The worries of life. And oh, how we love to worry. I don't know how not to worry. I'm honest. Because if I find myself, I worry. And then Jesus says, don't worry. Yes. And then I want to say, Jesus, how can you say that? You've made me to worry. How can you say you shouldn't worry and then you know that I'm going to worry? Because I worry. And Jesus says, first seek the kingdom. So in that process, while you're worrying, you seek first the kingdom, you exercise the word, and you'll find your answer. It's really that simple. I've learned it the hard way. 455 people can pray for me for my worries. It won't disappear. All the money in the world won't take my worries away. Because I can tell you, if you have a lot of money, you can have a lot of worries. Because handling large amounts of money doesn't come easy. You must think it through. You must pray it through. You must, you know, people think, if I only can have 2 million, then I almost want to tell people, then I'll give you 2 million worries with it. With for every million or for every rand, you can have a worry. You know. But the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things, the desires for other things will choke you. It will choke me if my desires are not. Do you understand now, this morning sermon, why Jesus said, listen, behold? Because there's a way that we need to listen in the way God presents himself. So it's a lack of commitment and not willing to pay the price. Now, I just have to make something clear. God will know when you are willing to pay the price, but you're going through a season where it is difficult for you to commit to something. Are you with me? Are you with me with what I'm saying? Sometimes you, look, if somebody has a job and he works on Sundays, for 6 months they tell him, look, you must work now for Sundays. Every Sunday till 4 o'clock. I can't be angry with that person. I must tell that person, look, it's a season that you have to work through this now. Be it small group. And make sure that you at least go to an evening service. Make a plan. Because I can't tell the people, don't take their job because you have to work on Sunday. It's wrong. Wie gaat vir die man kos gee? Toch ekie. I'm not going to give the man food. You know, he needs the money. Are you with me? You know, there's so many situations where I can just, you know, tell you, it's sometimes difficult for people. But that's got nothing to do with the lack of commitment. A lack of commitment you can see in somebody's heart. You can see when people think up excuses for seeking the kingdom first. And I'm not talking about that. But you see, if you have that lack of commitment, there's a good chance that there's something choking you that's more important. That is why Jesus says, look here, it's a constant battle. You must take up your cross daily. And follow me daily. Daily there's crosses that we must take up. Are you with me? It's a beautiful picture. And then the last one, and we will dwell on this more. Verse 20. Others are like seeds sown on good soil. They hear the word, they accept it, and produce a crop. Now watch this. 30, 60, or even 100 times. This is the people that respond to the challenge that God gives them. They accept the challenge, and there's varying degrees of success. For some it will be 30-fold, for some it will be 60, for others 100. Not everybody will be successful in everything. But at least you've accepted the challenge of what was sown to you by Jesus. Are you with me? Jesus tells Desiree, Desiree, you must go now and pray at the school. Every morning, you must get up and pray at the school 6 o'clock. So now she goes, he prays. But the more she prays, the uglier the staff gets with her. And they're really rude to her. Now, Desiree sees a teacher at the school here. Desiree, could you please stand up so that everybody can see who you are? She's hating me for this now. But I love her. I'm coming in the different spirit. Sit down, my dear. Welcome, Desiree. It's wonderful to have you. So she's a teacher. Now she's praying. The staff is ugly with her. So now Desiree thinks, God, I talked with my small group. I told them, look, your God is saying I must pray at school every morning. But you know how rude the staff is with me. So for that whole year, she has hell. And for that whole year, only one person gets saved. So she doesn't have 100-fold or 60-fold. She has 30-fold. She accepted the challenge. It's a varying degree of success. But now that one person that she led to the Lord, that one person, she gets everybody to church. So now Desiree understands the fruit of her obedience to the seed that was sown in and through her. But she will go through. But you know, is that obedience thing to the word? Is that, it's just the place where I need to be. Are you with me? Does it make sense what I'm saying this evening? And we need to look at this evening. And I want to talk about this because this is where I so wish that everybody that was here this morning could be here this evening. Because this is where it all boils down to. Remember what I said this morning? Don't not think, where am I? Am I stony? You know, don't do that. Think if you're bearing fruit. Think in terms of fruit bearing. Are you with me? Shift your focus away from the ground. Shift your focus to the fruit bearing. Jesus said, John chapter 15 verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. Bearing fruit. Oh, isn't that beautiful? I want you to take note of two things in that scripture. You must go and bear fruit. Your fruit must remain. Are you with me? Do you see it there? Two things. Prayer is a critical discipline to disciple people. That is the more fruit. Secondly, and to mature your character, the quality of the fruit. So there's a quality of the seed's fruit that God wants in your life. You know why? Because God said, I chose you. But also, you must bear more fruit. Are you with me? We're talking about the sower now. We're talking about the 30, the 60, and the 100. Are you with me? Don't feel so bad about the seed that was lost. God has lots of seed. Just think of, where do I need to position myself? Are you with me? So prayer is critical. You need to pray about this. You need to pray. You need to ask God. God, reveal your heart to me. I don't understand this. I don't know why I'm going through this. Please tell me. Ask God, like I've said this morning. If you don't understand things, ask him. Ask him. And then also ask him to show you, where's your weakness in this whole thing? Tell me, God, what do I need to do to grow to a place of maturity? And then wait until he says something. I would suggest sometimes even, I don't even take a Bible with me. Sometimes I just sit and I say, God, I feel so miserable. Why? Tell me. God, that's the only thing that I can say. I don't want to feel like this. And I said, like it has happened in this week. God, I don't feel like going. I just feel so down. I don't feel like going to work. What's it? Why am I feeling like this, God? And then a scripture popped in my head. Put on the spirit of praise for the garment of heaviness. Two things God told me. Look here, you must learn to praise me more. You must learn to be thankful. The second thing that God told me, the spirit of heaviness. If you're not careful, you're going to become depressed. And this is the beginning stages of you becoming depressed. And then the third thing that God told me, tell your wife how you feel. I said, Mom, this is the way I feel. I don't feel like this. And then I'm asking, now why? So now the first thing I think, God, isn't she supposed to do something? What's a one of my friends told his wife, as a blief, moeni min my praat as in na my toe kom met hoekom nie. Moeni jy sin begin met hoekom nie. I want to tell her, why do you always, all your sentences, why must it begin with why? Because I don't have the answer. I don't have it. Jy weet, vraag vir enige man as jou vrou is begin, nou hoekom? You know, it's like me when I'm walking with a cup of tea. So now I stumble and I mess. Then Elmer asks me, now why did you mess? Ek wil mos nie gemors. It's not that I wanted to mess. Because I don't have an answer for that. All that I can say is I stumbled, you know. And then the next question, so who's going to clean that? Obviously me. No, why do you ask me? So who's going to clean it now? And then you clean it and then maybe she walks over it and then she hears that sound. Woo! This tie, hoor. Hoekom is dit tie? Because of the tea. There was sugar in the tea. But now you can't say that. Then you're cheeky. You must watch it, what you're saying. Are you with me? So, I love it then, my wife. Now, the reason I'm telling this, because that's the way the Holy Spirit speaks with us. A good woman is not a woman who thinks she is the Holy Spirit. A good woman is a woman who acts and operates like the Holy Spirit. There's a big difference. There's a lot of women that think they are the Holy Spirit. And it's not you, Boki. You operate like the Holy Spirit. You know. Now, why do you feel like that? But I've told her. I started worshiping. And did God come through for me? Because supernaturally, I just felt better. And then I just said to Lucia, it's good again. Are you with me? It's a blessing, guys. Learn to ask God. And if you're married, allow your wife to ask you those questions. Because you must think it through. You know. Now, it's irritating for a husband when his wife asks, now, why do you feel like this? Because our natural tendency is, have some sympathy. You know, put some zambok salve on my head or do something. You know, or please rub Vicks on my feet just to make me feel better. But don't ask me why. You know, but allow them to ask you why. Because why allows us to think it through. In terms of fruit bearing and what Jesus says, if you want more fruit, you must start asking Him to help you through this. You must ask Him if you want character of quality. You must pray, and in your prayer life, you must ask God, God, why do I feel irritated if I am in this situation? Are you with me? Why do I get angry when I speak with this person? Character of quality, character of God, fruit. You must ask God because we must bear fruit. John chapter 5 verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Bearing fruit is always relational within the kingdom of God. That is why it is difficult for people to receive the seed that is sown if they're not in a good relationship with Christ And if they're not in a good relationship with the body of Christ, I tell you, if somebody has a bad relationship with the church, he has a bad relationship with Jesus. If somebody has a bad relationship with Jesus, he has a bad relationship with the church. Don't ever think that you will not get hurt. You will get hurt. But that mustn't stop you from bearing fruit of character and fruit of quality. Are you with me? You cannot be better than the body. You cannot be better than the vine. Because it's a relationship. A hardening of the heart. Now, you can figure this out for yourself. Do I receive the seed because there's stubbornness? Or is there no root? Is it the worries of life? Am I still connected to the vine? Do I feel disconnected? We're talking about the bearing fruit, the seed. You with me? That's all I'm going to say there. John chapter 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Obedience and unity produces the best fruit. When you're obedient to the word and you're in unity, it produces a crop so beautiful, I tell you. I'm standing here today, you know why? Because I am part of the body of, I love the body, I love the saints. Sometimes it's difficult for me to love all the saints. And I think sometimes people don't love me also. There's this thing, I'll hoy him with something. But that's also fine. But you know, I'll never walk away from the body, even if people irritate me how much, even if they make me angry. I'll never walk away from the body. I'll always be open to receive from them. Because it's an obedience thing. Ask any farmer, if you don't get up like this man, he works sometimes in summer till 3 o'clock a year. You know, that's spite that he vangerde. If you don't do it, you won't have a crop. You must be obedient. If you don't give the vine water, how is it going to work? You with me? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I've kept my Father's commandments. Jesus is saying, monkey see, monkey do. Did you see I operate with my daddy? Did you see I operated with my daddy in obedience? Now, you can have that same fruit if you just do that. Doesn't it excite you? It's so exciting. John chapter 15 verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. So that it may bear more fruit. Pruning is painful. Dis nie lekker nie. Ek dink as jou wingerd kon praat, nee, dat het hulle al vir jou paar goed gesê hoor. Because you have to cut away all the things that is not there. We're talking about bearing fruit. We're talking about the sower that sowed the seed. We're talking about 30, 60, 100. Can I tell you a secret that I've learned in leadership? I always thought when the breakthrough comes and the success is there, it's wow time. And it is wow time. But at breakthrough time, success time, it's always the time that God has pruned me. Because your biggest test will be success, not failure. Listen to what I'm saying to you now. Your biggest test will be when you become successful. Because if you cannot handle success, you'll bear bad fruit. If you cannot handle success, I can tell you now, things will start choking you. So fail quickly. Get up and just walk on. Life's in the journey. The Apostle Paul says, don't look at what happened now here. Scripture teaches, never despise the day of small beginnings. Never, ever. Serious. Serious. Never, ever. Never despise the day of small beginnings. You know what you see in me and Almery's life now started in 2004. Don't think I just want that. Take Marshall and Tanya. Do you think they got here overnight? Let them start telling you about the dreams they had in school. You know. You can talk to any great man that has handled success. And unfortunately, there's more people outside of the church that handle success much better than we as Christians. Because our heads just get in the way when we bear fruit. But if you talk like people like Carlos Santana, my father, I'm named after the musician Carlos Santana. My dad just loved his music. My dad has an LP there that was cut in 1973. I was born 1975. So when I came to my senses, 7, 8, when I started listening to the music that he's listening, I asked my dad, is this man really making music as long? My dad said, yes. He's now in his late 60s, early 60s. He's still making music. He's still making music. I can tell you this. He never handled success really good. You know, they went through the drug era and everything. But if you look at really mature musicians, they will tell you, look, there's some things that I've done wrong. Unlike Frank Sinatra, who was just very dug, you know. He must sang, oh, yeah, no regrets. I have a few. La-di-da-di-da-di-da. You know, he said, no, he done nothing wrong. He did it his way. So he can do it his way. It's fine. But, you know, every mature man of God, if you start thinking about what you're doing, there's a few lessons that you've learned. Not the arrogance of one's youth. That's why I love surrounding me with people much older than me. I really like it. Just to teach me some lessons. And there's some older folk in this church that have learned me quite a few lessons in my times when my youthful bliss just wanted to do things out of my youthful stupidity. Then the older people just say, oh, the youth in you is getting the better of you. Just think this thing through before you do anything stupid. Then I go back and I think about it. It's not about disobedience. But you see, what is for me important is the fact that pruning in that process, it's a healthy thing. So let's just talk about the fruit production and then we'll end off. We can only produce who we are. You can't produce what you say. You can say all the good things. You can do all the good smiles. You can raise the hands in the air. You can wave them like you just don't care. You can go to Bible school. You can come to church regularly. You can be at intercession regularly. But you can only produce who you are. And who you are is not what you do. Who you are is who you worship. Who you are is what you're inside of here. So for that seed to grow into your life, you must know who you are. And you're only who you are if you know who you worship. You cannot produce anything else. And that is why it's important, you know, for me always to check myself. I always check, you know, I'm not like a really bad teacher, school teacher that always checks up on your negative stuff, you know. But just before the Lord, I just said, God, just show me. You know, it's one thing in me preaching all these beautiful stuff. It's another thing if that is not in my heart. I'll produce what is in my heart. Makes one think, eh? You determine what you produce. You determine what you produce. You determine what you produce. Be careful of your source. Stay connected to the vine dresser in the vine. We're talking about producing fruit. We're talking about 30, 60. It's a beautiful picture. And I just love what God is doing. And it's interesting, if you have to make a note in producing fruit, that you can check out the word too. There's two trees. Life and death is in the tongue. Choose. There's a mom and a dad. You know, there's right and there's wrong. There's a left and there's a right. It's just the two in producing. What did you produce? You with me? And so, I've learned now, as God has taken me on this trip, you know, about producing and just listening. And what is so beautiful for me is the fact that I make lots of mistakes. But if there's one thing that I've learned to learn to talk to God about it honestly, in the inner room, and honestly with the people around me. I just make myself vulnerable because I know. Because in Ananias, you must listen very carefully to what Paul says. Someone planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I cannot bring the increase of the 30, the 60, and the 100. I can play my part. But you know what? My part in all of this is to hear the word and do as God has said. God will never judge me for doing things, something. In my honesty, in my love, as I'm thinking, is it right? He will never judge me for that. He'll show me after, look, you've made a mistake there, Greg, and then I'll work it through, you know. And that's how people will say, don't go into a spasm. You know, I'm just seeing the spasm in the spirit here. Don't go into a spasm if you do something wrong. If you did it with the right heart, but the consequences of it is just bad. It's all right. Go back and rectify it and start over again. If you did it with a bad heart, the same thing. It's what we call grace. And then the last part, the most difficult one. John chapter 12, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Bearing fruit means death to self. In other words, I'm experiencing, some of us, we're under the ground now. It's muff, it's donker. You don't like it there. And you're thinking, God, why must I be in this place? It's a place that's not lekker. I rather want to see the sun. Can't someone put me into a mayonnaise pot on the counter in the kitchen so that I can have a view? But now you must die. And it's not lekker. But I'll tell you, you're going to sprout soon. You're going to sprout soon. Don't worry. When you die to yourself, you'll sprout soon. The growth will come. You will produce. You will produce. I can promise you that. That's the way it works. Seed time, harvest time within the Bible. Much fruit. Much fruit. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't God a genius? Surpasses all of our experiences. expectancies? You know, I can go on with this. I can talk about the fruit, not just here, but the fruit that we will receive one day of our labors here. That's the most important fruit. One day. I love what God is doing now within His body. It blesses me. I don't want you to focus on what type of soil you are. All I want you to ask yourself, God, am I bearing fruit the way you want me to bear fruit? That is the question. Don't think, am I stony soil? Don't go there now. Ask if you're bearing fruit. If you're not bearing fruit, you will immediately know what type of soil you are. But don't focus on the soil. Focus on the bearing of the fruit. Are you with me? Does it excite you? Isn't it something beautiful that God is doing with us? So, we talked about vulnerability and making yourself weak. Let's just test it now. Who feels like the seed under the ground at this moment? Jesus, hy saaitjie is onder die grond, is pikdonker, jy sien niks, jy verstaan niks. Who feels like that? Who feels like that seed under the ground? Nothing makes sense. You're under the ground, it's muff, it's donker, you feel alone, you feel like nobody loves you. Do people care? Can you just raise your hands again? Can you come? Can you come here? Can we come stand here? Please. We're not going to need any facilitators. It's fine. I just want them to come and stand here. Who is being pruned? Hulle knip nou jong. If you pruned, then you come and stand here. If you pruned, just come. Sy lekker om geknip te word hier nie. Ai, ai, ai. Pruning. Pruning is pruning. Pruning is pruning. Pruning is pruning. I'm sensing there's people, your God is saying something to you, but you don't want to stand still. Because He's going to say something to you that you know it's true, but you don't like what He's saying. See, now I have your mouth, you say, you must. I don't know, can I tell you a secret about myself? When I was around standard 3, standard 4, I didn't like to bath. I don't know if all boys go through that. But it was a phase in my life. I would pour the water in the bath, then I will make a noise. Then I've never climbed, you know, I think nooit in die bad geklim nie. Then I come out, ooh, gosh, lekker, you know. But it's like that when your dad and your mom, when they catch you, they tell you, look, you must wash. And you don't like it. You know, it's something like your mom says, you must share with your friends. And then you don't understand sharing. Or God says, listen, you must forgive. Or then God will say, look, you must make yourself vulnerable. But you don't want to hear it from. So is there any person that God is telling you something, but you deliberately just ignoring what He's saying? The reason why I want to make that altar call, it's because if you're going to continue like that, you're going to grow to a place of unbelief where you don't believe God anymore. If you read the book of Hebrews, it talks about, let us not grow unto unbelief. It's the same thing like the Israelites in the desert. They kept on seeing God's goodness, but they kept on, you know, rejecting. Is there anybody like that? And you don't like, look, I know it's a difficult one. I know you don't want to hear God saying this to you, but He is saying it to you. So, just acknowledge it. Is there anybody like that there? I'm just sensing there is somebody here. I really want to give you that effort just to come and just say, God, I know you're talking to me about this so long, and I'm actually not listening to you. It's fine. Thanks, my friend. Thanks for your honesty. Is there anybody that's been choked by the worries of life? You've been choked. It's just choking you. You can't take the choking anymore. head belief. There's stuff that you only believe with your mind, but you don't believe it with your heart. You actually don't believe that God is going to do what He said He's going to do. Is there anybody like that? Because the odds, everything just seems it's against you. The odds are against you. Can I tell you where I am? I'm at this place at this moment where I'm just saying, God, if you don't say what you're going to do, then I don't know what I'm going to do. Have you ever come to that place where you just say, God, you must rather do this now because I can't? And I'm going to ask God one day, now why, God, did you always come through when it seems to me I can't go on anymore? Couldn't you just do it much more earlier when I still had more strength? But when I had no strength to do it anymore, then you came through. I don't know why God works like that, you know. You know, stuff that Elm and I have been trusting God now for 2 years. We've been trusting Him. I'll tell you, nothing until now. Oh, then it comes through. Are you with me? So there's just so much that God is just revealing to us within our hearts. And I just want to tell you, guys, you haven't lost your salvation. Miskien voel van julle, o, jette, is ek nog bekeer? Am I still saved? You're still saved. You're still saved. It's just, I don't know when God's going to ignite the growth. But what I do know what God is saying now, it's not over. It's never over for you. Never. Not with Him. So in this quietness, I really just trust God that He will unlock everything for you. Okay. If I had my way now, I would like everybody just to give us a 1 minute testimony of where you are. I would really love that, just to tell everybody. Now, I'm going to ask you for homework, just to go tell somebody that you don't know, and just tell them, look here, this is where I am. But I want you to remember this word, abide. Stay in that place of the body and with Him. And you keep on running. I'm going to pray now for you for endurance, because I think it's something that all of us need. I'm going to pray for you for endurance. Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray that you will touch all these precious saints and give them that endurance. Lord, teach them and cultivate them how to cultivate it. God, for those who are being pruned, I'm sensing for those that are being pruned, I'm sensing God is saying to you, just ask me, why are you pruning and what are you pruning away? He'll tell you. God, for those that's difficult, it's just difficult for them to believe, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that they will run. Keep on running, that they will keep on believing. With God, we are anointing them this evening with your oil. God, this anointing will destroy any satanic yoke right now in the name of Jesus. Any negativity, it will just destroy that yoke, because that yoke is not of you. You've given us another yoke, Lord, which is easy and it is light. It's not a bad burden. God, I thank you for the growth in their lives. 30, 60, 100 fold. I can see the growth in their lives, Lord. I'm sensing the growth. Lord, maybe they don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. But God, I know there's so much just waiting for them on the other side and on that side, Lord. And so I thank you that you're bringing them to a place, Lord, where they know that their growth is in your hands. And thank you, God, that their growth is not in somebody else's hands. Praise God for that. Praise God for the fact that they are here now in your hands. We praise you and we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for their growth. We thank you for their openness and their obedience. We thank you, Lord, that they've taken this big step to make themselves vulnerable. It's not easy. But God, thank you that you're releasing within them now just so much of your Holy Spirit's power so that they will run with that strength, Lord. I thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat. We'll do some two worship songs. And I saw a specific type of flower, and I'm just sensing it's something that God's doing. And it's opening up, but in it, chocolate is coming out of it. I don't understand it, but it's got something to do with the fragrance. And it's just the beautiful fragrance that God is releasing within His saints. Maybe now what you're going through makes sense. Does it make sense for some of you now? Why are you going through this? Why are you feeling like this? Don't worry. Jesus spoke about it. He knew. And I just want to comfort you that even the apostles didn't understand much. But like Jesus said to Peter, Peter, I'm praying for you. Satan is going to shift you like wheat, but I'm praying for you. As long as God is interceding for you, you are connected to the vine and you are connected to the body, you're in a safe place. You're in a real safe place. And it's a blessing. And can I just say something? From my side, I want to thank every one of you for being part of this body. I like being part of this part of the body. I love it. I love the saints. I love the different personalities, the different cultures. I just love it. Jy weet, een lag hard, ander een lag sag. Een heel stylies, ander een heel kissing. Dit lyk soos slagting. I just love being part of this. I want to thank you for that. On the 11th of December, Elmer and I, we're really trusting just God for a special thing called building memorial stones, which we really want to do with you on the 11th of December, the morning service. We're just going to build memorial stones. And I want you to come with your testimonies about what God did for you during this year. 1 minute testimonies to 2 minutes, please. Don't preach. Testimonies. And I really trust in God that we must build memorial stones. What is done for us? God has really been good to us, hey? He's really been good to us. And so He's really been good to me and my wife. And from our side, just for now, we just want to say thank you. Without you, we would have been standing here. I can promise you that. We would have died a slow death, painful death. I'm just so happy to be part of this part of the body. It's a huge blessing to both of us. So thanks, guys. We're going to worship two more songs. And then after those two songs, you can go home if you want to go home. Okay, thanks. Can the band come, please?